First Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12. I don't think we'll get out of verse 12 again today either. So, but those of you who want to go a little bit deeper, you know, there's word studies. We can read the scripture. We should read them in its full context. We should look at everything that the Lord is telling us, not just little pieces. But once we do that, what the Lord has been pretty much doing with us over the last month, probably in one verse, is just doing a word study. What do these words really mean? And not only what do they mean or what's the implication, what is God trying to speak to my heart for me to be applying this word the way that he would have it? None of this is easy. I don't want anyone thinking that if I keep striving, one day I'll be perfect. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. We hear the Apostle Paul saying through the ages, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to save me from this body of death? That's us. There's a working that goes on, and it's called human responsibility. That's my part. And then there's the working of God in my life, and that's the sovereignty of God, that only he can change things, and only he has the power to do those things. But we do work them together, and sometimes it takes a little more time for some than others. But please take that to heart today. God's part is taking this word that we're going to read in 1 Timothy and making it real in my life, applying it the way that Doug Gibney has to apply it. It's going to be different for Jenny. It's going to be different for Dave, in a sense different. But this is what he wants from everyone. Each of us that are called by his name, we're his children, and this is what he's striving for in our lives. I pray we strive for it, and that's something that's real hard. You know, Paul also made a statement in 1 Corinthians, we won't turn there today, but he said that, you know, I beat my body into subjection so that when I preach to others, I myself might not be a castaway, or meaning put aside, put on the shelf because of my example. And that's something that as we look at this today, understand that God's not just going to do it like that. We don't go to bed saying, okay, I want to change tomorrow. We have to strive. Sometimes it's going to take beating our bodies into subjection of the things that I want to do. I really want to do this, but I know God is, I'm asking him to help me change, and we've got to beat ourselves. And it's, you know, that beating isn't with a stick or, you know, where's Pete? Pete says, you know, it's like hitting myself between the running lights sometimes with a 2x4. That's not it. It's putting myself, yielding myself into his hands, his power, and what he's capable of doing. So as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, this is what we've been speaking about for quite some time now. Paul making that, if you're visiting today, the statement for bodily exercise in verse 8, profits little or for a little while. We all know what it's like to run, lift weights, to exercise, go to the gym, whatever it might be. And God is saying that that type of exercise that we're used to striving for, be here. How many, you know, it's obvious, I'd rather sit on the couch and have, what did you get the other day? Sour cream jalapeno ruffle chips. You tell me that that's not the best as compared to running 10 miles and going nowhere because the thing under, it's like a rat wheel. I'm not into that. But that exercise will profit for a while. God is saying, don't make fun of people who exercise. It profits for a while. It keeps us. And I think as Christians, we should exercise, whatever it might be, to keep our bodies fit to a point where we can serve our Lord and Savior until that day he calls us home. The exercise for 70 and above is going to be different from the 20-year-olds, but we should. But he tells us in that verse that godliness is profitable unto all things, that kind of godly exercise. So that's what we've been studying. That's what we've been doing. Looking at the areas in verse 12, let no man despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love in some of your translations, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Those are the areas in my life. I don't know about you. You figure it out. When you go to work out, when you go to a gym, when you're trying to work on your heart, your cardio, your arms, your legs, your back, there's certain exercises that you put your body through to accomplish those. And this is what the Holy Spirit is telling Paul to speak to Timothy, and I believe the Holy Spirit is still saying that, speaking to Doug, that these are areas in your life, if you examine yourself, if you look in that mirror, other than just for a physical appearance, these are the spiritual areas that you need work on, Doug. So we've been looking at that. We looked at, what was it last week, in word, in conversation. And some of yours might have conduct. It's my lifestyle. Does my lifestyle, opening question, if I claim to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, a believer in Christ, you know, that word, it's a whole lot more. This isn't just a religion when we say we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is my life. This is my conduct. This is my character. This is my whole being now. Am I looking at myself in these areas and trying to exercise myself a little more in that godly area that he's showing me might need a little work? And trust me, we're all going to need work for the next however long it is until he takes us out of here. But in that meantime, my lifestyle. Why my lifestyle? Because people are looking at you and I. They know if you claim to be a Christian. They know if they know, oh, I go to such and such a church. Oh, I do this. Oh, no, I'm going. They're watching. They want an example. And that's, you know, Paul is trying to tell Timothy here, the historic part of it. Timothy, God wants to use you as an example to the believers. That's the people that were within that group that Timothy was preaching to. But he also goes further than that, that the people that are outside that circle, the ones that are watching, God wants to use you, Timothy, and I pray you would put, God wants to use you, put your name in there, to be an example in your lifestyle, your conduct, your character, to the unbeliever, to the believer. People in church always need somebody to look forward to, somebody to look at, that if God could do that with Doug Gibney, maybe he can do that with me. If God could work in Tom Pratt, there's hope for everybody, you know. God wants to use us as the Spirit wanted to use Timothy to be an example to the believers and to the unbelievers of what he looks like. Not what I look like, not what you look like, but of what he looks like until that point where the unbeliever or even the believer spiritually can see what God is wanting me to look like. What is that image? So here's those areas of work that we need. Again, our lifestyle, our love, spirit, faith, and purity. Let's look at in love today, and whether or not I get by any more than that will be God working. In love, I need to exercise myself godly. Exercise in that area, my love. What, in love. You know, I feel it's twofold. My love for my Savior and my love for his children. And that's what everyone, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, when you and I step out into whatever realm it is, our workplace, our families, the supermarket, the gas station, the restaurant, he's saying be an example in love. Oh, come on, isn't that, you know, especially us manly men, right? Isn't that a little too sweet? No, think of Christ as we work through this. But he wants us to be an example of love. And I felt like, first, it's my love for him. How can you be an example? That means you're willing to be shown, aren't you? It's willing to be out there, as we've had for the ladies before, and I never made a dress, and I've used this 50 times, a pattern for what it is. Grandma used to make Eileen dresses, my sister. little package used to arrive in the mail, and she'd pull it out, and it was the cheesiest looking paper I ever saw, and she'd cut it out and stick pins in it on a piece of paper. That's what that was. But that's what you and I are, our patterns. We're examples of God's love. God, my love for him, number one, that should be first and foremost, and then my love for his children. As I step into arenas with other people, how's my love? Am I loving people the way that God loves me? And you know, scripture interprets itself the very best, so we're going to be going through some scriptures. And again, this one I think is one of our critical ones in the days that are coming, is that godly love that you and I say we have been shown, that we know, that we have dates that we can stamp, some of us, a date on it of when God's love touched me. When I knew this wasn't just something I just ingested. This wasn't something I stopped taking. This wasn't something that somebody said. This was God reaching down, touching my life. You know that if you know God. You've seen him. You've felt him. You've heard him. This is something that's so real. And that love should be almost like our first love that we can remember, that we truly, truly loved. So God is saying, I want you to be an example, Doug, in love. How do I do that, Lord? Put something in there. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 3. This is going to be God, I hope, speaking to our hearts, not just my opinion. So how do I exercise is the question. Hey, I want to work on my cardio. Well, then run. Run, or at least walk at a brisk pace. That's how we would tell somebody physically how to work on our hearts. Or, you know, you can get some weights and do your biceps or your back. And how do I exercise my love in a godly manner that it will increase, that I'll get stronger in that, that I'll get closer to that goal that God has set for me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12, don't ever leave the Lord out in this. Don't go out there flat-footed and try to do it yourself. It'll be as phony as a, what's a bill that's phony? I got a $2 bill. They must be as a $3 bill, a $4. Don't try it on our own power. And I think that's what happens when Paul is speaking here in 12. He says, and the Lord make you. Make you. The Lord make you. What have you gotten another translation there? I didn't look that up. Ma? Cause?
The Lord Jesus clear the way.
Huh.
Oh, I'm reading 11. No, make.
Okay, so the Lord make you to increase and abound. You know, that's almost like he's pulling me. I feel like he's moving me into it. Let's go. Let's do this. Come on, coach. How many times did you tell me that? Come on, coach. It's like, get out there and do it again. Let's do it again. It's not just a passive. See, love is a verb. Love is an action word. And in order to do this, I can't do it on my own. God's got to be doing it. Will I allow him to make me? But listen how that sounds in your heart. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another. That's wherever you go to church, wherever you might fellowship. He's saying that, one towards another, towards the ones that are believers, to the ones that are in his relationship. But he goes a little bit further, and this is the hard one, and toward all men. Are you kidding me? You want me to love that guy? That doesn't mean go over there and hug him and kiss him and bring him home and give him your bedroom and all. You know, we have these weird concepts. The best way to do it is when we cried out to Christ, how did he love you? You know, I have a different way than maybe he did to you, but that's as easy as this. When the next person, man, woman, teenager comes up to us, just reach out in that same kind of love that I know that I felt at that time when I needed it the most. And God is, it's not just a good suggestion that I don't feel. This is something he wants. This is something that one day I'm going to stand in front of my God, my Savior, and he's going to say, Doug, why did you yell at that guy yesterday for dumping, putting his car in front of the dumpster? I was not a godly pastor yesterday. I was not an example of God's love. I told the man that if you put that there one more time, I'm throwing all the church's trash in inside your car, not in the back of the truck, and then I'm going to have it towed. I walked out of there going, that was pretty godly, you know. It's a struggle. It's a struggle, trust me, to love people the way that God loved me. But would he ever ask us to do this if it was impossible? I don't think so. So the Lord make you to increase a little bit more and then abound. That's like an overflowing in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Why? Verse 13, to the end that he might establish your heart unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. He's coming again. I don't know what your belief is if you're visiting today. The Word of God, he says he's coming again. Whether you believe that as we die and you know, one day, the rapture, which this church is founded upon, he's coming back for his church. And if I've learned anything, if I strive, if I beat my flesh a little bit more today, that if he comes tonight, I'm going to have less to answer for tomorrow. Okay? So it's just, let me try, Lord. Let me exercise a little bit, just a little bit. And you know, here's the whole thing. Try to exercise this love towards somebody that you already love. That's a pretty good deal. 52 years, okay? That is nothing natural. But I don't think anybody else would have me, so, you know. But does that mean it's over? How many married 10 years? How many married 20 years? How many, you know, love increases. It's a verb, remember? I said it's an action. My love for Christ should increase every single day. And if it does, my love for my wife, my love for my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren that I have, my love should increase every single day proportionately as that does. Is that too much to ask? I think God is, that's what he's saying, that I'm to love that way. Not only my wife and family, but all men. Because he's coming back and he wants to make my heart, it almost sounds like if I do that, he's going to drop an awful lot of other stuff that I might have to answer for. Because if I love this way and I love towards all men, he says that he might establish my heart unblameable in holiness before him. Yeah, you messed up there, but boy, you sure did show the love of Christ in your life. You sure did beat yourself when you wanted to say that and you held your tongue. That's the kind of love that God is asking for. Flip a few times over to John 15, if you would. Now, if anybody's been either in the military, paramilitary, anything where you are definitely under authority of a higher, this is what is being said from the Lord of the universe. This is not a good suggestion. I can't love him any longer. I can't love her any longer. I will not love that individual. I can't forgive that person, whatever. This is not a good suggestion. I want us to hear that because this scares the life out of me. Somebody, JD, I think he said, you ready? And I told him no, and he laughed. I'm never ready for up here because this is one of the scariest things in my life is to bring God's word to people I know and people I don't know, because if you hear it out of my mouth today, you're responsible for this. I've just brought a responsibility into your life. Now, what you do with it, that's up to you. You can choose to exercise or you can choose not to exercise, but this is a commandment. This is a commandment. And those of you, I asked you, men, if you were in the service, you ever disobey a commandment? Or command, as they call it, from the, I did. I wound up in one of the, I was in the best place a guy could ever ask for, and I went to the worst place in New York City that you could ever think of for disobeying a command. That's simple. God isn't like that. But there will be times when we have to stand before him and answer, did you know that I told you to love that person? Didn't you see that I wanted you to just move yourself a little bit more into his or her spot? Try to understand what they were going through first before there was a judgment made on them. Doug, why didn't you do that? Doug, I had this for you. But you know what? I can't give you that right now. You disobeyed that. And I think I'll stand before him and say, that is just. Didn't we say that, Brent, this morning? Whatever, it's just, Lord. I know. But it's a commandment. This, in verse 12, is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's that simple. So I'm begging each one of us to today or tonight, go back to that day when you honestly know that you felt God's love of forgiveness, of God's love saying it's all right. The Abba, Father, Daddy, when he pulled you up on his lap like you've pulled your children when they were hurt and said it's okay, it's gonna be okay. And God doesn't say things that he doesn't mean. I want you to love the way that I loved you. Simply put your experience into someone else's life. John 13. Verse 34 and 35, we're still talking about love. We're talking that it's a verb, an action. It's a command. Don't forget that. Why? It's because people are watching. Trust me, they're watching you. And what kind of example am I? As Paul was saying to Timothy, what kind of example am I to those that are in my little circle? Or that person that I bump into in the store, or when I'm clear in another state, what does that person see? So in 34, anew, you know, and that word, we should do a study on that. It's fresh is what Jesus is telling them, not some outdated, outworn statement. This is a fresh, this is something new I'm trying to impose on you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also loved one another. Why? 35, we'll all dwell on this one. By this, not by how many scriptures I know, not how many times I show up at church, not how many times I go here or there and do an outreach. By this love that is seen every day, by this bag of bones walking around, and yours and yours and yours and yours, by that, all men, it says, will know that you're my disciples if you have love one towards another. This is boot camp here. Can't we just get along? Husband, wife, parents to children, if we claim to be Christians, why can't we do this? It's a mark on our life that will remain forever. People are watching. People know. God knows. And it's the simplest thing going. And I'm doing this for a Lord and Savior that loves me, that pulled me from death into life. What's wrong with us? The simplest and the one thing that he asks us for is the one thing, like Paul said, the things I want to do, I can't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who'll save me from this body of death? Jesus Christ will. It's time to believe. Who knows what kind of time we got left? How many people have I'm not talking about you, turned away from the throne? I pray God gives them one more good, loving Christian in their life that they might really see. Gandhi made a statement. This might shock some. He made a lot of statements. If you know, read some of the things he said. I'm not going to let anybody walk through my mind with dirty feet. I love that one. But Gandhi made a statement that he too might have been convinced to be a Christian if it were not for Christians. Whoa. He watched it. He thought, well, these people, they're showing this love. They're talking about this love. But he walked into a church, and the story is told that when he got there, the usher stood at the door and said, I'm sorry, you can't come in here. Because it was only for white people. And he was definitely not white. This is only for people who are dressed properly. He wasn't dressed very properly. And the man said, man, I wanted to check out this Jesus Christ, but I was turned away. And I wonder, how many people have I done that to? Just with an attitude, just with a, you don't even have to say anything. Just a look, the look. Anybody got kids? Remember your kids going like this? How many words did that say? 100, you know what it was. You know, and it'll take a while. Our son, his daughter, stood up from the table, went like that. Don't give me that look. And she turned around, what look? Our looks, just, we don't even have to say anything. God is saying, love one another as I have loved you. Boy, I'd like to keep.
I have to say the rest of it. And then Jason turned to us and said, I know what the look is.
I now know what. What is love? What is it?
Putting the other person in front of yourself. Yeah.
It's a word that we throw around so freely. It's a word that has such a, it's beyond magnitude, it's beyond, you know, love, it's beyond the universe. What's love? I went skiing at Vail. I just loved it. I loved it. Man, I got in this guy's truck this morning, hon. I mean, I loved it. Whoa, what a truck.
You're not getting one.
Give it a look.
I love my dog. I love my dog. You've said it right? Do you love your dog? People think I hate animals. I love my dog. She saved me from a moose, you know? I love that girl.
Several times.
I love burritos. I love spam moosby. Oh. See what we do with the word love? We just incorporate it in a daily, oh, I don't love that. God is saying love. Just love. Practice it. Try a little bit today. Try doing it with the one that you say or you said you loved at one time. Increase that love. Abound in that love. Whatever's going on in that, somebody's going to see that and say, what is going on? I heard you before. Now what's happening? And that's our opportunity to say that is the love of Christ. Love. Be an example. We'll continue with some more stuff next week. We're going to go to the table. This is not a time to beat ourselves. It's not a time to feel like, oh, I'm not worthy. If you're a believer, if you have a relationship with Christ, He wants us to come to the table. He wants us to bring those burdens, those things that are holding us down, the things that have just screamed for His allegiance this week, whatever it might be, just bring it to Him. Give it to Him and say, Lord, help me. That's as simple as it is. And He already has. Do this in remembrance of me. How much did He love Doug Gibney? I'm still asking that after 40 years. How'd you do that? Why would you love me? Let's go to the table today. Let's just thank Him for everything that He's ever done for us. Let's thank Him for everything that He's still. I mean, He's saying, you think that's all I got for you? If He only opened that a little bit, I think we would just be blown away. Let's go to the table today, thanking Him for what He's done for each and every one of us. And just give Him a little bit of our heart this week and see what He can do with it. Craig, are you going to sing now? Sit down, Craig. No.